Welcome to our podcast, Healthy Brain Banter. This is a podcast created by a team of nursing students to bring you accurate and reliable information about mental health. This week, we will be introducing the members of our team, how this podcast came to be, and the invaluable resource of CAPS. While this is specific to BYU's CAPS, most of the information can be applied to CAPS programs and therapy offered nationwide.
Today we want to introduce this project and the team members working on it. We're a team of nursing students along with a faculty member. I'll start by introducing myself. I'm Tiana Halterman and I am from Minnesota and I've been married to my husband for almost 2 years. I love to be outside, spend time with family, and read. I gained my interest in this project because of the relevance mental health has in my life and in the lives of those around me. And I found that by incorporating things like yoga, meditation, and prayer in my life, my mind feels a lot healthier.
All right, I'll go next. My name's Abby Fife, and I'm from Cuna, Idaho. I love gardening, cooking, anything with art, and I've also been on a recent tennis craze. I'm really looking forward to spreading awareness about mental health and trauma topics because I think understanding these topics can really help us to have more empathy for each other. And we really hope this can become a virtual safe space for everyone who listens.
My name is Allison Christensen. I'm from Roseville, California, and served a mission for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the Colorado Denver North Mission. Mental health has become a huge part of my life, especially recently with the pandemic, and something that has helped me maintain a positive mentality is sleeping, eating healthy, exercising, hiking, and spending time with those I love.
My name is Anna Smiley. I'm from Portland, Oregon, and I love long-distance backpacking, sleeping, and trying new things. I think that mental health is critical for overall well-being, and I'm excited to work with this team and on this subject.
My name is Carolyn Ferderber, and I am from Boulder, Colorado. I served a mission for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Mexico City. I love to be outside in the sun hiking or skiing, which has helped me so much with my personal mental health challenges. And I think being strong emotionally allows people to progress and just enjoy life. So I look forward to sharing about how this can be achieved.
We want to welcome Blaine, our faculty member, and we wanted to ask him a few questions. So Blaine, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. My name's Blaine Winters, and I've been teaching nursing for probably about 15 years now. I've taught at several universities, and I love the field of nursing. I love teaching, and I really enjoy working with students, and especially in projects like this where we get to work together as a team.
So why was mental health of interest to you in directing this research?
So you bring up a good point here. I've spent a lot of my career taking care of patients with physical illness, but I have realized as I've taken care of these patients that a huge problem that they deal with is not only their physical problems, but their mental health. And if they can get control of their mental health, then they do much better with their physical health also.
And what is your experience of working with mental health?
Well, like I said, a lot of it has come in working with patients in different settings, not necessarily specifically a mental health setting. But for instance, I worked for a trauma service for many years, and most of these patients would end up suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, severe anxiety. Many of them had substance abuse problems. And I just didn't feel like I had the training to really care for these patients. I felt like I could care for them physically, but when it came to their mental health issues, I didn't have the resources I needed. And I didn't really know the resources to point them to either. So
that's great. That's really admirable that you took that initiative to be able to help them both mentally and physically. We wanted to finish by asking the question that we'll ask every professional that we have on this podcast. What is the best tool in your life for creating a healthy mind?
I think I have several things that I try to do personally. One is physical activity is really helpful for me if I'm struggling to be able to get out on my bike or on a hike or out with my dog or our family. That really helps me. Another one is to know how to get alone time. So there are times in the day if I'm really stressed that I just need to take a little time and be by myself, get my thoughts back. I tell my wife a lot of times, just, okay, I'm going to go to sleep now and in the morning I'll be ready to go again. And so that's a big part of it. And then also prayer, meditation, scripture study, things like that really helps me with my mental health.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Blaine.
Thank you.
Next, we want to introduce our project. So this summer, our team was all doing research with our professor for various projects. And as those projects came to an end, we were brainstorming what we could do next. As we worked together, we came up with the idea to put together a website with various resources to help our community improve their mental health through helpful and reliable sources.
And you can find our website at allthingstraumaandmentalhealth.com. And from there, you can access our monthly articles, videos, links to this podcast, and more. We hope this website can become a hub of resources for students, teens, parents, and even children to learn more about mental health and trauma.
We wanted the articles we write for our website, All Things Trauma and Mental Health, to be accessible and our interpretations to be simple and easy to understand for the general public. We also wanted our sources to be credible, and we use several databases and unique research strategies for each topic that we research.
Another part of our project is creating animated videos that describe the topic we have researched. We hope that these videos can help visual learners gain awareness of issues associated with mental health.
We've decided to create this podcast because of the relevance of them in people's lives today. This was an easy and meaningful way for people to get important information about mental health. We will be including interviews with trusted professionals about how to improve your mental health. We will be releasing a podcast every month about specific topics. We are so grateful for everyone listening, and we want to hear from you. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to reach out to us on our website. All right, for our first episode, we have our first guest ever. His name is Adam Fisher, and he's a licensed clinical psychologist and assistant clinical professor at BYU. He is board certified in couple and family psychology and a certified sex therapist. At CAPS, he provides individual, group, and couple therapy. Dr. Fisher teaches two courses in student development, Relationships 101, Building Healthy and Lasting Relationships, and The Science and Practice of Positive Living. So, Adam, we're really glad to have you here today. And we want to start off just by asking you, in your practice, what is the best tool that you've seen to create a healthy mind in you and also the patients that you work with?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about both. Probably what's called diffusion, which is kind of a made-up word in psychology. But, you know, like when you're in a movie and you really want to feel what's happening in the movie, you want to be fused with your thoughts and feelings. You want to be in them. Diffusion is sort of separating yourself from them. So when you have a thought or a feeling that's not useful, rather than trying to get rid of it, which is sort of a traditional method, I sort of like to practice or help clients practice separating themselves from the thought a little bit, looking at it. Right now, I'm noticing that I'm feeling depression. Right now, I'm aware of anxiety happening. And that gives you a little bit of space, kind of like in one of the Harry Potter movies where the scary thing comes out of the closet and they do the funny spell and it like puts roller skates on the spider or whatever. It's kind of like that. So it's kind of magic.
Yeah.
And it gives you a little bit of space to room, to breathe, a little bit of room to act in a more efficient way. So in my mind, therapy doesn't necessarily make those scary things go away, but it can make you better at handling them. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's a great tool. I think that everyone could use a little space from some of their thoughts sometimes. So we appreciate that advice. So as we mentioned before, Adam is a member of CAPS. He works for CAPS at BYU. So can you tell us what CAPS is? What does it stand for? And tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so CAPS, that's a common sort of generic phrase around college campuses. It stands for Counseling and Psychological Services. It's not just individual therapy, which is what a lot of people think of when they think of CAPS, but we do a lot of other things in addition to individuals, so like group therapy, couple therapy, biofeedback, stress management. We teach a lot of courses. sort of kind of more prevention kind of focus there, a lot of outreach. So it's kind of a broad list of services.
Yeah, that's great. And how can students access CAPS?
So just call the front desk, or you can go online, caps.byu.edu, and make an appointment. It's really easy. Of course, some people feel totally fine with that. They've been to therapy before, and some people haven't. Even if they have, some people feel pretty nervous about the idea. Honestly, I've been to therapy 3 times myself, and every time I'm nervous, and this is my job.
Yeah.
So if you feel nervous about it, like, that's normal. You're going to go tell a stranger, basically, you know, all kinds of things. And that can be kind of nerve-wracking. But for most people, it's really effective.
That's great. And what resources does CAPS offer? I know you touched on that a little bit, but could you go into more depth about the resources that CAPS offers?
Yeah. So individual therapy, you can have students can have up to 7 sessions. Some only need 1 or 2. You know, some people only want a couple of sessions, or they just want to talk to somebody once. And so actually we do offer kind of a brief 1-session consultation for people who are just, I just need to talk to somebody about this one thing. And you can usually get in a lot quicker, maybe sometimes the same day, sometimes in a week, if it's scheduled. But then you can have other clients want to have more sessions, so they can have to set up to 7 sessions during the school year. Group therapy is I think, underappreciated program. There's not a lot of group therapy, I think, especially on college campuses around the country. And the colleges that offer it, I think, are offering a great service. We have no session limit on that. Group therapy is equally as effective as individual for a lot of issues. I think for some, probably more. Like, you know, if somebody comes in with social anxiety and we say, hey, you should try group, they're going to go, what? Why are you sending me to group? I'm actually afraid of groups. I'm like, so I get that there's some risk taking there, but it can be really, really helpful for isolation, or, you know, you're feeling kind of disconnected on campus. You want to connect with some people in a real meaningful way. We have psychologists leading these groups, and they're really powerful, you know, in a lot of cases, and it don't work out for everybody. CAPS also won an award. This is before I got here.
Yeah.
Of course. they won a national award for the group therapy services here. So it's kind of a big deal. So I definitely recommend that for students. Just while they're here, take advantage of that. Also, I mentioned some classes. A lot of us teach a class. They're kind of more therapeutic. They're not always a lot easier than a typical class, but they're focused on mental health and relationships and how to manage stress and all kinds of things like that. And then we also have some self-paced kind of online programs. So some people don't want to see a therapist. They just want to do something on their own. And they can work through a lot of stuff like depression, anxiety, eating concerns, and things like that online. So there's a lot of options out there.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. I think that a lot of times when students think of CAPS, they automatically just think therapy sessions. But it's great to know that there's a lot more that it offers. Yeah. So what are some of your most frequently asked questions at CAPS, and could you answer some of them for us?
Yeah. So I didn't do any research on this. I just came up with the ones that came to mind. Why is the wait time so long? Was one. Is it really confidential? Like, is the honor code going to find out or something? And then like, what happens in therapy? Is sort of the last one. So as far as the wait time goes, right now, and especially since COVID, it's really similar to anywhere else, if insurance is paying anyway, and CAPS is free. But, you know, that can be 1 to 3 months sometimes. And if you have a therapist that you're looking for outside in the community, it's similar. And this is free. But I understand that, like, when you have a concern, you want to talk to somebody now, and you go into CAPS, and you finally built up the courage, and you've been kind of stressed about the idea and you're not sure about it, and you call them and you say, can I make an appointment? They say, yeah, we can see you in November. That can be kind of stressful. So it's helpful to, as much as you can, sort of, okay, I know I'm going to be really stressed in October. Maybe I'll make an appointment now, get on the wait list. As far as confidentiality, yes, it is confidential. And you'll talk to whoever goes in, we'll talk to their therapist about the boundaries around confidentiality. And like we don't report to the honor code office. We don't report to anyone. All the records stay in CAPS. And, you know, there are a few exceptions for any therapist. Like if a client says they're going to kill themselves or hurt somebody else, or they know of a child who's being abused or things like that, we have to report those. And sometimes that can be sort of challenging for clients if they like say, yeah, I was abused growing up and my little sister still lives at home in the same house. Like that's the situation where I'd have to report. But outside of those kinds of situations, everything people talk about, religious or things around sexuality, like these are all confidential. What happens in therapy?
Yeah.
For people that haven't been to therapy, right? For me, it's really like a conversation. There's two kinds of therapy that I see anyway. It's like, one, I need a supportive place to talk out something that I'm struggling with. A lot of people, well, some people are kind of looking for advice, and we don't really do that so much. Like, well, here's what you should do. We're not going to tell people what to do, but we'll provide a supportive environment to talk through whatever the concern is. The other kind of therapy is more focused on a problem. I'm experiencing this problem in my life. We're going to look at, you know, what happens before the problem, what happens after, how can we best change this pattern and help you get out of it? And it's all a conversation.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. I think that makes it a lot more accessible that it's just a conversation with someone who's professionally trained to help you work through those things. The next question is, while I'm waiting for an appointment, what resources are available and what can I do while I wait?
Yeah, the online program that I mentioned is called Silver Cloud, is a really good one. It doesn't fit for everybody, but some people really, really like it. It's something you can work on your own time.
Is that accessible through the CAPS website?
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
Those are all on the CAPS website. Group therapy is an option. I run a meditation group, which is drop-in. So if someone wants to come try it out, then they can on Wednesdays right now. And if they don't like it, they can quit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a big deal. But with regular groups, it's kind of more important that they give it a shot for a while and whatnot. But yeah, so there's the online option. There's the group option. There's a lot of resources online. Those are probably the things that I recommend the most.
Great. And for our last question, what are the main benefits of CAPS for students on campus?
So therapy can be an emotional investment. Even this really brief kind of 7-session thing or 3 sessions or however many times people come in. And some of the time it's not helpful, but the majority of the time it is helpful. Research shows this, whether it's in person or online, and we have data now during the pandemic that teletherapy is just as effective as in person. There's some things I like about each. I kind of prefer a little bit more in person, but they're both effective. So there are over 30 highly trained psychologists, a number of interns and trainees who are under supervision working at CAPS. So this is a huge benefit. You could potentially, as a student, get thousands of dollars really worth of services through CAPS during your time here while you're at BYU. You may not have, for example, the group therapy thing, you may not have that opportunity again in your life. I don't know where else, at least in this area, you can go for this many group options. So there's a lot of benefits. And then the courses, I think. There's a lot of great courses that are 1 or 2 credits that aren't going to add a lot of stress to your course load, but are going to add a lot of beneficial things.
Well, thank you so much, Adam. We really appreciate all of your insights and all of your knowledge. Is there any last thoughts that you have that you'd like to share?
Sign up for group. That's all.
That's great. Well, thank you, Adam. We're so grateful for you. And thank you for listening.
Thank you.
That's all we have for you this week. And thank you for joining us on our podcast, Healthy Brain Banter. We'd like to thank Adam Fisher for joining us, as well as all of our listeners for tuning in. Join us next month to learn more about maintaining a positive mental health while dealing with academic stressors.